take your Bible tonight, and if you would please, I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, 27 weeks ago, including tonight, we started talking about the subject of relationships. We'll continue to talk about it for many weeks in the future. Your relationships in life, boy, if your relationships aren't right, you'll just have a rough time. Most of the time, if you look and see if you had a bad day, most of the time you don't have a bad day as it is related to things, but you will feel like you had a bad day emotionally as it's related to people. And so our relationships are a big deal. They're very important to us. Tonight, some will snicker, but tonight we're going to talk about your relationship with your in-laws. And so you married folks, there are a lot of in-law jokes out there. And you say, why, Pastor? Because they're so funny. But we're going to talk about it. Now, young people, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not married, and this doesn't mean anything to me. If you'll listen to what's said, what we're saying about most every relationship, you can learn how to just to treat people and how to handle people in general. But you say, well, I'm a teenager, and I don't have a mother-in-law or a father-in-law. I'm not married yet. Well, you will be someday, and it's far better. There will be people, after we teach certain things, they'll say, boy, I wish I would have learned that a long time ago. I didn't know I should have handled it that way or that way. And if I would have learned that a long time ago, maybe I could have saved myself some trouble. So at whatever age you are, anything that's taught from the Bible about relationships, it'll be good for you, whether it specifically pertains to you or not. Now, Ruth chapter 1, why don't you stand with me real quick? I'm going to read some scripture out loud. You can follow along silently. Starting at Ruth chapter 1, we're going to start with verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Now I want you to go down to verse number 16, and it says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Now look back at me for just a moment. Verse number 16 is a conversation between a daughter-in-law and a mother, if you will, or a mother-in-law, and it's a very strong conversation. I'm going to retell the story in a moment, but that is the text verse. I want us to look at it, and let's not be making noise. Don't make noise now. Now, I want you to look at verse number 16, and I want to read it again. It says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to be better because we came to church. Lord, nothing this evening will be profound in the teaching. It'll be down to earth, everyday, practical teaching. And teaching that will help us to get along with our families better. May we accomplish that very purpose. Might you be exalted, might you be glorified, and might the family be stronger because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Let me retell this story. Elimelech and Naomi were a married couple. They had two sons. They were living in Bethlehem, Judah. funny thing. The word Bethlehem, Judah, means the house of bread. And they felt like the economy had gotten rough where they were at. They decided that they would leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. Now, let me tell you something. It's a silly thing to leave the house of bread to go look for bread. And they got themselves into trouble. So Elimelech and Naomi left their country, took their two sons, and they moved to a distant country named Moab. While there, their two sons got married. One married a gal by the name of Orpah, the other a gal by the name of Ruth. And so they now there's mom and dad, a son and daughter-in-law, a second son and a daughter-in-law. The dad, Elimelech, dies, which leaves the mom all alone with now sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Then the two sons die. So now we've lost the dad and two sons. All the men in this family are gone. The mom and the two daughter-in-laws are left. And Naomi decides that she got out of the will of God. Listen, folks, when you make moves, don't go down in what you do. Go up in what you do. They went down. You look at the story of Jonah. Jonah went down. He didn't go up. God doesn't want us to go backwards. He wants us to go forward. God doesn't want us to go down. He wants us to go up. God doesn't want us to decrease. He wants us to increase. Well, they made the mistake and they decreased themselves. They went down spiritually. Well, and there's a mess. I mean, the loss of life. I mean, I'm sure that they took a good long look at this, and the woman said, "Good night. I lost my husband. I lost both my sons. We made a bad move. We didn't handle ourselves right." Well, in essence, now you've got Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And they're going to go back, and Naomi said, "I'm going to go back, and ushers, I always need help, and that's why you're an usher." But Naomi decided, "I am going to go back, and I'm going to take and you girls, if you want to go with me, you can go with me, but I've got to tell you, girls, I'm too," Naomi said, "I'm too old. It'd take too long for me to have two more boys for you and grow them up, and you could marry them. And so I would just recommend that you girls go ahead and you find someone else to marry." Well, Orpah, one of the daughter-in-law, said, "That's what I'll do." But Ruth, she said, "That's not what I'm going to do. That's not what I'm going to do." And so I want you to understand, Ruth's husband is dead, and Naomi said, "Ruth, I just go ahead and go find you a husband and go build you a family somewhere." And Ruth says this, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Now, here's what I want you to understand. This woman, her husband's dead. Her father-in-law's dead. She's just a young woman. She has her whole life ahead of her. But somehow, there had been a relationship built between Naomi, the mom, and Ruth, the daughter-in-law, that Ruth was so connected to that mother-in-law. She said, "My husband's gone, but I love you. And I'm going to go where you go. I want to be with you. I want to be around you." Now, to me, that in itself, what a tremendous compliment, both to Naomi and to Ruth. What a powerful thing. You can't get people whose husbands are alive to get along with their mother-in-law to that degree, let alone someone who, the husband has now passed away. But that, to me, is a powerful statement. And everybody look right at me here. Here's what I want you to understand. Here is a mother-in-law who had built such a powerful relationship with a daughter-in-law that in this setting, the mother-in-law wanted to be with the daughter. But wait, here is a daughter-in-law who had built such a powerful relationship with the mother-in-law that she was so connected, this deep, deep commitment was there. Again, the whole lesson tonight is on the subject of your relationship with your in-laws. I'm going to talk to you as a, those of you that are married couples, I'm going to talk to you about your in-laws for a little while. There are four major causes of divorce. I've counseled thousands and thousands and thousands of marriages. The four major causes of divorce: we fuss about the finances. We fuss about the rearing of the children. We fuss when there's problems in the area of the private life or the intimate life. But then, one of the four major causes of divorce are the in-laws. The in-laws. Because people don't know how to handle them. They don't know what kind of relationship to have with them. Wow, wouldn't it be something if we could have relationships like Naomi and Ruth had as in-laws? I didn't understand, nor did I really know a lot about how to be a good son-in-law when Mrs. Owens and I got married. Didn't know anything much about it. Didn't know what to do or how to do it. I knew this. I knew that my mother and father-in-law had given me the most precious thing other than my salvation that I could have ever received, which was my wife. My father-in-law, he passed away when my wife was 16 years of age. When I married my wife, only her mother was living. I will tell you this, I have never had not even a moment tension with my mother-in-law. That's because of two parties. She was a sweet lady. She was easy to get along with, and I'm a sweet guy. But we both worked at that. There was a mutual respect that we had for each other, and my mother-in-law and I get along fantastic. My wife and my mother get along wonderfully. I've never seen a moment of tension between them, but I'll tell you, you must work at that. That does not come naturally. It's something you have to work at. I didn't know a lot about how to handle a mother-in-law in this case because my father-in-law had passed away. I remember, though, I felt it very important that I work at my relationship with my mother-in-law. I got with my wife and I said, "Honey, I want to throw a bit of a party for your mom." And I was out working in the ministry. We lived 5 hours away from where we grew up, and we grew up in a little town called Winchester, Indiana. And I got a hold of my mother-in-law. I said, "I'm going to take you out to eat on a given Saturday." And we drove from where we were at, working as assistant pastor, and she was my wife. And we drove from there, and I got a hold of the entire family, and I planned a surprise party for my mother-in-law. I called it Queen for the Day. She didn't know what she was coming to. She showed up at a restaurant, and I had gotten a private area. I invited her family in. They kind of didn't know any idea what was going on. I bought the entire family, her brothers and sisters and everyone. I bought them a meal that day. We brought Mom in, and I crowned her, and I'd gone to the mayor of the town, and the mayor filled out a document and named a day in our city after her, and I gave her gifts, and we did nice things, and I put an article in the newspaper and a picture of her in the newspaper. Now I did that one time. That's all you get. I did that one time. But I wanted a good relationship with my mother-in-law. I wanted to get along with my mother-in-law. Now, let me say to everybody in here, there's all the digs and the jokes and the variety of attitudes toward the thing. You know what you and I are supposed to do? We're supposed to be good people. We're supposed to be attempting to get along with people. You say, "But preacher, you don't know my mother-in-law." Okay. But you have to understand, maybe it is you don't know Jesus enough. You got to work at that. Maybe you'll never have as marvelous of a relationship with your in-laws as what Mrs. Owens and I have shared with ours, but you could better yours. And you ought to have the attitude that you want to have a decent relationship with them. And so, I'm just going to give you some practical ideas about getting along or your relationship with your in-laws. Some things that you've heard before, maybe some things that you haven't. Just stay with me for a little while and let me show you some things. First of all, I'd recommend And especially if you're a younger married couple, if you've not been married for long, I'd recommend that you not spend a ton of time just trying to impress them. Most younger married people, they really want to impress their in-laws. You know, the young lady wants to impress her new mother-in-law, and the young man wants to impress his new father-in-law. Oh, I think they ought to be treated well and treated right. But, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't put on a whole bunch to try to impress them. You say, well, what should you do, Pastor? Instead of having to put on a bunch of things to impress them, why don't you become those things? I'll tell you why. Maybe I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Most people, when they hear their in-laws are coming to visit, they're freaked out. They're panicked. We're going to clean for days in a row, and we're going to change how everybody dresses, and we're going to do everything's got to be rearranged. Why? They're coming. And then you wonder why you don't get along with them or you don't look forward to the visit. Because you're a put-on. And so I'm trying to be honest with you about it. I think rather than putting on when they come around, why don't you become what you need to become, and then you don't have to put on when they come, and then you'll look forward to their coming. And I'll tell you this also. You know, okay, let's take a young lady. You just got married, and your mother-in-law is going to come and visit. To be honest with you, most moms and dads that have recently lost their son or daughter to marriage, and when I say lost, we're not talking about death here, but if their son or daughter has gotten married, most parents are still wanting to have some connect with their child, and they're almost feeling unneeded in the relationship. And really, a mother-in-law doesn't want to have to compete with a perfect daughter. And so I really think if we would all just live our lives the right way, we don't have to put on when our in-laws come along. And I know that's such a simple point, but I really think my understanding is when the in-laws are coming into town, everybody's trying to get ready for the in-laws so we don't make a bad impression so we can make a good impression. Why don't we just go ahead and live the way we're supposed to live so we don't have to put anything on when they come to town? So you say, well, I'm not going to go into it any deeper. I'll make people mad. But I'm just telling you, don't be a put-on. I wouldn't spend a ton of time trying to impress them. I'd spend a ton of the time trying to get me and my family where I'm supposed to be so I don't have to worry about impressing them. Okay, let me go on. Number two, when possible, ask for your in-laws' advice. Ask for their advice. Now, I got to tell you something, and you heard the words, when possible. Look, if your in-laws are not spiritual people, I would not ask them which Bible to use. Okay? But there are things that you can ask them about. And if you'd like to get a better connection with your in-laws, asking their advice about something is a compliment. They take it as a compliment. Most in-laws would like to contribute to the success of the family. You married their son, or you married their daughter. And if you say, preacher, I'm having a hard time making a connection with my in-laws. If you can find an area of life where you feel like their advice is trustworthy, and you go to them and you ask for their advice, I promise you, you'll make a connect with them. Because they want to contribute to the success. And your asking that advice is a compliment to them, and you'll draw them towards you. And I'll tell you this also. Most young men, when they first get married, so desperately want to prove themselves to everybody, they can almost become full of pride while they're taking care of their wife and making their decisions, setting up their household, and they don't need anybody. You'll make a lot of dumb mistakes that way. Because when you've got parents that are smarter than you and have been where you've not been, but you won't reach out because you've got too much pride while you're trying to make your way, it'll take you longer to make your way because you're going to do it wrong instead of right the first time. And all it would have taken was a call to your father-in-law and say, hey, how did you handle this? And he will light up because he was needed, and you will have made a connect that you need to make. So same thing's true with the ladies. Well, ladies, if you say, I have a hard time getting along with my mother-in-law, find an area in life where you could trust her advice and ask her advice about something. You say, well, I don't need it. Ask it anyway. What would be wrong with someone reiterating what you think you're already right about? But it would give her an opportunity to contribute. She wants that anyway. You're married to her boy. She'd like to contribute to your success. But ladies, if you're not careful, you're going to be, you know, somebody say, well, I'm just protecting my family. Yeah, and some of you are just full of pride. There is a difference. And I know there's a time to protect your family. But I'm saying if you'd like a good relationship with your in-laws, first of all, don't have to change everything to impress them. Change you so you don't have to change. I said, secondly, when possible, ask their advice. Thirdly, plan not to be offended when they make suggestions. This is an important part if you'd like to get along with them. Plan not to be offended when they make suggestions. You say, why? Because they are going to make suggestions. Now, I have this philosophy. Unsought advice is seldom followed, and it's usually resented. So what does that mean? If I didn't ask you, stick your nose in somebody else's business, but not mine. Because if I didn't ask, and you ask me, I'm going to put up a wall. First of all, and the more pride you have, the bigger that wall, and the quicker it flares up. Do all of you, those of you who've been married for a while, you remember the first time the in-laws tried to advise you or your spouse when you didn't want it? Or one of you wanted it and the other one didn't. Probably wasn't good. So here's what I would do. Everybody here, your in-laws, sometime soon, maybe sometime in the future, they're going to try to give you some advice. Why don't you decide right now that you won't be offended? That means the day they call and say, hey, by the way, and they give it, instead of you having the hair on the back of your neck stand up and you being angry and tossing and throwing things, why don't you decide, Pastor said this day was coming. And I'm not going to let the fact that they made a suggestion become offensive to me. I didn't say you had to follow the suggestion. I'm just telling you to grow up as a Christian, not be so sensitive about everything, and know, did you know that somebody could love you and be sincere and make a suggestion not intending to hurt you? You really think that they set up last night before they made the call to make the suggestion and said, how bad can we hurt them? Let's destroy them. They're rearing our grandkids. Let's maul them all. Let's kill them. Let's tear them to shreds. No, I think they probably in sincerity wanted to make a suggestion because they wanted to help. So just decide not to be offended. You say, well, why should I? Because the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The word nothing there is the Hebrew word mother-in-law. But if you want to get along with your in-laws, instead of trying to impress, why don't you become what you feel you must doctor yourself up to look like and take some of the stress out of it. Secondly, when possible, ask their advice in areas where you feel like they could be a contributor. It'll be a compliment and they'll enjoy it. Thirdly, plan not to be offended when they offer suggestions. Number four, if I were a husband, if I were a wife, I would want to tell my in-laws how important they are to my spouse. I would want, listen, if now both of Mrs. Owens' parents have passed on now, but if her daddy was alive and I was talking with him, his name was Kurt, I would say, Kurt, I just can't tell you how important you are to my wife. You are so important to my wife. I'm going to tell you why. Every daddy would like to think that he still gets to be daddy to his little girl. So you men understand. You wouldn't have her if it were not for her dad. And there's a right way to treat her daddy. You say he's lost. Well, then you better treat him even better. because he may die and go to hell because not because he rejects, he might not reject Jesus as much as he rejects you being a jerk. I always get stuff like that in my teaching when I don't even mean to. Where does that stuff come from? Okay, but listen, every mom and every dad would still like to think that they're important to their kids. And I believe this. I believe that I take my relationship with my wife to a new level when I say to my wife's dad, you're still important to your daughter. When I say to my wife's mom, you're still important to your daughter, there's nothing wrong with that. My wife does love her mom. She does love her dad. This tends to make them believe that my wife has expressed her love and appreciation for her parents, and I'm just passing it on. So many relationships, it's all about the negatives. What would be wrong with passing on the positives? So I say, you would do your relationship a favor, both with your spouse and with your in-laws, if you would communicate to your in-laws how precious they are to the one you married, their son or their daughter. There's just a tremendous compliment in that. I really believe that by you doing that, I think you make a connect that is extremely important in families, in relationships, and in life. You know, and especially moms. Moms want to be needed. And men, let your wife's mom be needed. You say, I got this. Okay, we know you've got it, big boy. We're not talking about you and your desire to prove your manhood. We're talking about a woman who needs to be needed. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you intimidated by your mother-in-law? Is that what it really is? You don't have to be. You're the one that's married to your wife. What you're trying to do is you're trying to help the relationship. So I think it's important that you tell your in-laws how important your spouse is to you. Number five. From time to time, encourage your spouse to get some time alone with their parents. Some time alone with them. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. I just think if we marry and then we separate from the parents to the point where they never get any time with their daughter, never get any time with their son, they never get a private conversation on the phone. I wonder if is that fair? Now, I tell you, and those of you that are married and you're saying, I don't know, well, you just wait till your kids are married. You see, if the boy that marries your daughter or the girl that marries your son never let you sit and take your daughter or son out for a meal without you tagging along everywhere, you just wait and see if you think that's totally fair. You give 20 years of your life to rear them and put them through school and feed them and clothe them and doctor them and take them to the dentist and everything else. Somebody moves into their life and falls in love with them, and 2 years later, they're that man or woman's sole possession. You can't talk to them. You can't sit down with them. You can't spend any time with them. I think as a parent, they might feel a little cheated. Are you all okay? Is everybody listening to me? Am I a voice crying in the wilderness here? Look. A dad and a mom, that's a different relationship than what a husband and wife is, but you got to understand something. That's their child. And for them to get a little bit of time with them, it can be good for them. Now, I think all of us, everybody here needs to grow up in your Christianity so that not even your parents could shake you about your convictions in life. There are spouses that fear, you know, their mate getting around some in-laws because the in-laws don't love God or uninterested in the things of God. Won't you become such a good Christian that your husband or wife doesn't worry all the time that if you went out to eat that you're going to come home drunk? Give them that confidence. That would help it, but I just have to tell you, a mom and dad somehow deserve to get a little time with their grown adult child. And if I could even go as far to say, without you. What would be wrong with that every once in a while? They took care of your child for 20 years. Okay, we're moving on. Number six. I think if the in-laws are coming into town, I don't think there's anything wrong with you doing a little something special that says we planned for you to come. I think that's a sweet thing to do. Remember, I'm not all about the big put-on. Now, you say, well, the put-on, and I would say anybody that understood it, understood it, and everybody else, you can stay in the dark about the put-on. But I would say this, if they're coming to visit you, do a little something that says to them, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you came into town. You say, like what? If we have parents coming into town and there are snacks that they like, we'll buy those snacks and we'll put them at the house and we'll tell them, say, hey, we know you like this kind of coffee, or we know you like this. When our kids were at home and grandma and grandpa were going to come and visit and maybe stay, they might put signs up in their room that says, welcome, we're glad you're here. We might even tape some signs on the front of the garage door. I think they ought to know they're welcome. You all do realize probably the biggest joke around when it has to do with family, it's the in-laws are coming. That's what the everybody laughs about that. The in-laws are coming. The in-laws are coming. It sounds like the outlaws are coming. But I think if they knew that they were welcome, say, well, they're not really. Let me explain something. Your mate lived with them for 20 years in their house. 20 years, 18 years. For some of you, it's going to be 40 years. But I think doing something that says, we're glad that you came, it'll take some tension off of the thing. And I think it shows them, listen, you know the Bible, the word hospitality? Do you know that when, okay, we're going to have a guest speaker here on March the 22nd. Maybe someday I need to walk you all through the process that I go through to show hospitality to a guest. I mean, their hotel reservations are sent to them in advance. They have the address of the hotel. They have the phone number of the hotel. It's set up far in advance. It's put on our credit card far in advance. They walk in. It's the room that they wanted and the number of beds that they wanted on the floor that they wanted. They walk into their room and there's a sign there that says welcome. And then they go in and I already know their favorite snacks. I know their favorite drinks. I know everything that they like and those things are in their room. There's salty things in case they want salty and they're sweet in case they want sweet. There's drinks that have caffeine and there's drinks that don't have caffeine. Everything that they would possibly need and then my phone number and then the money they needed for gas is in there and the money they might need for food. If they needed to go buy Walgreens or Rite Aid and pick something up, there's some money in there because I'm going to take care of them while they're there. They're welcome. They're wanted. You'll hear a guest from our church stand up and say, boy, what a welcome. They've not even met you yet. They feel like they're wanted. Now, let me tell you something. In-laws need to feel like they're wanted. Feel like they're wanted. It will help your relationship. When they walk in and you ask, did you bring a pillow and a blanket? The couch is going to be cold tonight. You're not helping the relationship. Let me go on. Number seven. I think it's very, very important that you are thoughtful of birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas. Birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas. It does not mean that you have to get them a big gift. But I think that a birthday, I don't understand it. Birthday's not real important to me. But birthdays are important. It's the day you were born. And remember this, birthdays to parents are extra important when it's associated with their children and things like that. So I would just say, I would recommend to everybody under the sound of my voice, when the in-laws' birthdays roll around, that they get a card. And it's not just from their child. It's from both of you. And it wouldn't hurt sometimes that the in-laws got one from you, not just the child that was born to them. That may take a little extra energy and a little extra effort, but I'll tell you something. I want my relationships in life to be good. I think their anniversary is important. You say, Pastor, I can't remember my anniversary. How do you expect me to remember too? Ask your wife. I think Christmas is important. And again, I'm not telling anybody that they have to go out and spend a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you, if some people would just take the time to connect, I've got some sister-in-laws, and I don't know for how long, two of my sister-in-laws have favorite candy. One of them likes this candy called Mary Jane. Another likes those little, they're marshmallow ice cream cones. They're about this long, and they've got a waffle cone and marshmallow on top of it. I used to buy those things by the truckload. I would send my two sister-in-laws once a month a package from me. They would just get this package with a letter bomb in the letter. I would send, that was supposed to be a joke right there. But I would send it to them. You know why? I really wanted to get along with my sister-in-laws. I really wanted to have a decent relationship with them. And without my wife knowing, every once in a while, my sister-in-laws will get a package from me. And I might say, I went from a very bleak, very limited relationship with my sister-in-laws. To this day, my sister-in-laws will call me and not even tell my wife and say, hey, what's happening about this? And I'll say, this is what's happening. Because we get along quite well with the in-laws. Now, but I want that. I have to work at that. I have to plan that. So I'm just saying, I think that if you'd like to have a better relationship with your in-laws, why don't you find out birthdays, find out anniversary, and at Christmas time, even if you don't spend Christmas with them, send them some sort of a little gift that says you care and that you're interested. Let me give you a few more and we'll be done. Next, don't criticize your in-laws. Don't criticize them. Now, some of you, this will be important to you because you are very critical in nature. More negative comes out of your mouth than positive even has a chance. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, if you don't have anything good to say, you probably shouldn't say anything at all. I'll have to remind you of something. When you're mean and critical towards your in-laws, that is your wife's mom and dad. That's the reason. Some of you don't get along with your spouse like you should because you don't respect their parents. You say, but they're not good Christians. I know, but they're still their parents. You know what the Bible says? They're to love their parents. They're to love them. And when you're mean and nasty toward their parents, they may go along with it, they may laugh, but in their heart, they're hurt. I'll promise you, they are hurt every time. My wife's never heard me criticize, her mom. Never. Never. Not one single time. We've been married for 36 years. And she's never heard me say one critical thing about her mom. She's only heard compliments about her mom. Now her dad, he cut my hair once and he got it way too short and everybody's heard about that. But I've not spent my life doing that. Criticism, folks, it can become very damaging, it's very negative, and it can become evil. Let me go on. Number 9, pray for the in-laws. Pray for the in-laws. I can say this with a pure heart. All my wife's family, brothers, sisters, they're all on my prayer list. I pray for them every day. I would tend to believe this. I pray for my wife's family more than her entire family added together prays for anything. I guarantee it. Matter of fact, I pray for some of you more than you pray for yourselves. I pray every day for you. I pray every day. Listen, you wives, I pray every day for your husband. Some of you don't even do that. I pray every day for your wife. You don't even do that. I pray every day for your kids. You don't even do that. But I pray. I pray Sabrina's here. I pray for her parents. Listen, you want to have a good relationship with somebody? Take it to God. Take it to God. He's a relationship healer. Some people say, I'm all for the family. If you're all for the family, you'd get on your knees and you'd pray. You'd pray for your husband. You'd pray for your wife. You'd pray for your kids. Not just when they're in a jam. You really want to make an impact? You really spiritual? You really believe in God? How much do you pray? Say, I don't get along with my in-laws. Let me ask you this question. If we added up all the time you have spent praying for your mother-in-law or father-in-law, what would we come up with? You say, well, it wouldn't be much. Well, no wonder your relationship's not much. You get out of something what you put in it. You really want to put something good into a relationship, put some prayer into it. We got to move on. It's way too quiet in here. You're either bored to death or you just don't know what to think. Number 10, if you want to get along with your in-laws well, teach your children to love them and to express their love to them. They love that. Look, their grandkids, just teach the kids to be expressive. I'm not saying that all in-laws would we turn the children over to them 24/7. I'm not saying that. I'm not condoning the bad influence that could exist. But you ought to teach the kids. Look, everybody here has to learn how to love the person and hate sin. That's got to be learned sooner or later in life. I'll tell you, sending the color sheets from school to the grandparents can mean an awful lot to both the children, the grandparents, and to your relationship with your in-laws. Teach the kids. Let them make a phone call and send them school pictures. And all of that becomes very, very important. I'm done, but I'm going to make about four more statements. They'll be quick. I think there are a couple things that my wife and I did with the in-laws that aided our situation. We get along. My wife gets along with my parents. I got along with hers when they were living. We didn't have a lot of that kind of tension in our home. And I'll tell you, you need that kind of peace. You ought to want that kind of peace. But let me tell you a couple things that I think we did that were very good. First of all, Mrs. Owens and I, we always stood with each other, but politely. We were a team. Our families did not pull us away from each other. We were a team. We stood together as a team. It never turned into me and my family against her and her family. Never turned into me against her dad or her against my mom. Mrs. Owens and I, when we got married, we formed a team, and we were a team. And if the family had issues or things, we stuck together, but we learned how to do it in a polite and a kind fashion. You know, there's a way to stick with your spouse where we backed each other. I did not have to swing a big stick. I didn't feel like I needed to prove to everybody who I was. I wanted to have peace with my wife and peace with my family. I reared my family with my convictions and with what the Bible said, but we somehow maneuvered our way through it. And we didn't have a bunch of great big family wars, but we stuck together. Secondly, one of the things I think we did right is we didn't spend a bunch of time defending our parents. We just, you know, when the parents did what the parents did, we just said, oh, that's what they're doing, and this is what we're doing, and it wasn't this battle royal all the time. So we stuck together. We didn't spend a bunch of time defending because there wasn't a bunch of criticism being thrown all over the place. Then, I don't know how to say this, but I want to say it because I think it's important. Some of you talk way too much about negatives to your parents. Way too much. You tell them every negative thing about your spouse. And you expect your parents to like your wife? After all that stuff you said about her? Do you know who your parents like? They like you. Your spouse is a tag-along that came along at about 18 or 19 and stole you away. So, I can tell you why some of your parents have a bad attitude about your husband or about your wife, because of you. All you do is tell them the bad stuff. You call them and whine about everything. And I know that's hard for some of you to accept, but I'm trying to help you. You say, well, I need help. Then go get help from the pastor or someone. But why do you spend so much time tainting the attitude of your parents towards your spouse? Aren't you planning on being married forever, or are you one of those that are just playing the game? Because if you're planning on being married forever, I would think that you would want your parents to have a good attitude about your spouse. So there's nothing good to say. Yeah, that's obvious. He or she had bad judgment. Pick you. I mean, you must have thought there was some good. Look, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. People, every time I talk to my mom, you know what my mom says about my wife? She'll say, "Yeah, she is just so sweet. She's a keeper. I've been married 36 years." And I want you to understand something. You may think I'm exaggerating. I have never one time criticized my wife to my mother. Not once. Not one time. Because I decided I want my wife and my mother to get along. And they do. You talk about a relationship. They're like a couple of sisters. My mom will come into town. They're gone. They're out running around playing. I think my mom loves my wife more than my mom loves me. I overdid it. My father has never heard me one time criticize my wife. Now, you just don't know how much there could be to criticize, but I have not told them. Look, if Mrs. Owens needed help with me, she went and seen somebody, but it wasn't her parents. And if I needed help with her, I went and see somebody. And I'm just, and it'd all be okay, except for you taint the attitude, and then you wonder why when we go visit, we don't get along so well, and they interject themselves in such a negative way. You created the atmosphere. I'm almost done. One more. I think one of the things that we did that helped us to have a decent relationship with the in-laws is we treated our in-laws very equally. And you say equally, what do you mean? No favoritism. No favoritism. We set it up in our home, and she could probably take you to the log where we set it up. We set it up in our home at how much money we would spend at Christmas time on parents. We always spent the same amount on her mother that we spent on my mother. We spent the same amount on my mother that we spent on her mother. If we were going to do something at birthday, we spent the same amount on her mother as we did on my mother. Now, Mrs. Owens was a housewife for years. I always gave her money, so she had some money. She'd call it mad money or spending money. I took a percentage of my paycheck, and it was just like the tithe. When she was a housewife, I would every payday, she would receive an allotment of money that was hers to do anything she wanted. But her allotment wasn't as big as my paycheck, and that was my mom. And if I would have wanted to go spend a bunch of money on my mom, I could have. But I never have spent more money on my mother than what I would have spent on her mother, because that's not fair. So there is an equality that we use. Our children, if my children were ever jealous among one another about mom and dad, they'd have to really work at it, because we treat our kids the same. Justice is very big in my home. If one of the kids needed something, I would say to my wife, "Boy, if I meet that need for one, I feel responsible that I'll always need to meet that need for any of the others. And I'm not going to set up a precedence that causes people to feel like there's favorites. If it's worth doing for one, it needs to be available for all the others." And so we were careful not to show favoritism. Say, well, I wonder if a set of the in-laws are easier to get along with than the others. Then that's the one you want to spoil. That's the one you want to win. You're thinking about the exact opposite. You're trying to do what's best for you. Don't you think you ought to do what's best for them? Because you're trying to fix the relationship. You want it to be strong. Well, we need to stop. I'm amazed at what I see in the story of Naomi and Ruth. I'm amazed. Picture it. A son dies. The mother-in-law says, "Go ahead and marry. Go elsewhere." And the daughter-in-law says, "No, I'm so connected to you. I love you. I trust you. I believe in you." What a connection. That was a pretty powerful relationship between the in-laws, if you will. It'd be good for all of us to have a better relationship with our in-laws in life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lesson number 27 on the subject of relationships. Very practical. Maybe maneuvered into some territory you're not used to, but I promise you, those of you that have been married a long time, some of it, if you would have done some of what I just taught you years ago, you could have saved yourself a lot of grief. Younger married couples, why don't you remember some of it? Get some of this involved in your life. I'm not saying that the in-laws are right about everything. Not at all. I'm just saying better, improve, work on that relationship. It's a God-given relationship. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my mind, God has spoken to my heart tonight. I've been challenged. I've learned something. It'll help me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. Lots of hands. God bless you. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. We'll look at our prayer bulletin in a moment. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. A relationship through marriage. What do we need to do? We need to work at it. We need to better it. We need to make it as positive as possible. And I am the last one in the world that would say to you, give up your convictions. Don't you give up your convictions. I would never say to you, give up your standards. I don't talk about your spiritual standards. No, I don't think you ought to give those up. I think there is a way for you to be old-time religion and have convictions and standards and get along with people and reach out and try to pull your families in. Get as close to them as you can and stay right with God, and you ought to do that. Don't ignore it. And always remember this, your in-laws gave you your spouse. And you say, that's why I'm so mad at him, Brother Owens. Your in-laws gave you your spouse. That ought to be an honored thought, a precious thought.